Welcome to Overtures. This was a great episode to wrap up May with, and we had so much fun. You can catch Dana at Delaware Valley Opera June 23rd through the 25th in The Three Bears, or August 19th through the 27th in The Audition. All links are in the show notes. Take your seats. We'll be starting shortly. Everyone, welcome to Overtures. We're just gonna get right into it today. Thank you guys for hanging out and waiting for these technical difficulties. We were going through a lot of different stuff, and it turns out that it was my audio that was messing up, but that's okay. We figured it out. We are here and we are ready to go. So excited to have you all, and it'll be a fun episode. So we'll go ahead and get to it. This is episode 69 of Overtures, and I'm gonna be starting with a clip today.
I could have danced all night. I could have danced all night and still have begged for more. I could have spread my wings and on a thousand things I'd never done before. I'll never know what made it so exciting. Why all at once my heart took flight. I only know when he began to dance with me, I could have danced, danced, danced. And...
amazing, amazing. And of course, props to Seth Rudetsky for clapping for us right at the beginning of this episode. my guest today is a New York City-based member of Actors Equity and alumnus of Wagner College, class of 2019. Since then, she's performed across various mediums, including performing the Pirates of Penzance at Delaware Valley Opera House, voicing animated ads for Discord, winning the Seth Rudetsky Series Sing-Off competition, and singing the national anthem at a New York Knicks game. This summer, she's going upstate to Delaware Valley Opera again to perform as Goldilocks in a children's opera, The Three Bears, and in a new opera called The Audition. Outside of auditioning, you can catch her selling clean energy to New Yorkers, teaching a cocktail class, or catering events throughout New York City. My guest today is not only so stinking talented, but also one of the most kind, humble people, and she is such a goofball and so easy to talk to. This is going to be such a fun episode. So without further ado, this is Dana Klusik.
Hello.
It's so nice to be able to speak to you and you hear me. I'm so happy to have you here.
It's not only an honor, but a privilege to be part of episode 69 of your show.
Absolutely. It couldn't be anyone else.
Thank you.
Taking it like a champ and enjoying it nonetheless. I'm so happy to have you here. I was thinking about it and I'm like, it's been way too long since we've actually talked to each other.
It has been. We saw each other
across the platform.
Actually, we saw each other across the platform on the subway the other day.
Yep.
Very romantic, actually.
It was very romantic. And then, of course, a train got in our way and we were like, bye. But, one day we'll see each other acting like we don't live in the exact same city.
Absolutely.
What neighborhood do you live in?
I'm all the way uptown in Washington Heights area, but the very first street. So it's kind of in between Hamilton and Washington Heights.
Gotcha. Because the station we were at, I'm up in Harlem. That's my normal stop. So I was like, okay, we're not too terribly far away from each other.
No.
It's so silly, but it's
sorry I'm watching this.
No, that's okay. I always love to give the context of how I know my guests. And most of the time it is Wagner College, but you know what? I meet some of the best people, so it's fine. We were in the same graduating class together, and I believe that it was Ballet One that truly is what brought us together.
I won't even remember this. I think I actually blacked out with all the dance classes at Wagner.
No, that's 100% fair. Honestly, it was mostly just us making faces at each other and or giggling because we were this is so foreign to me.
That checks.
Yeah. It was our faces were very loud and we're are we supposed to be doing this like this?
Yeah. And then senior year we went to this graduation cruise, just the two of us. And it was so fun.
It was so much fun. It was rainy and gross, but we had so much fun. And when it wasn't raining, we attempted to get pictures like on the deck. It was great. It was a grand old time. Senior week was a blur, but you know, it happens.
It happened, I think.
Yeah. Honestly, most of it was filled with me just trying to pack my room because I was like, oh my God, I only have this many hours to actually bring everything where it needs to go.
It was a mad rush to get out of there.
Mm-hmm, because they're like, you know, just move out the day you graduate. And you're like,
right?
Why?
That's fine. I'll put it in between sips of vodka. Like,
like, let me just, like, I don't know, go celebrate with my family first. Like, Jesus. But anyway. Insanity, but we made it through. And yeah, going back to like sort of the very beginning of things, how did you first get started in theater?
My first show, I was a goat.
I love that.
I was four and I crawled across the stage in a community theater production of Heidi.
I love it.
And my two cousins were actually in theater. They're a little bit older than me. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of looked up to them. I'm an only child. I don't have any siblings.
Yep.
So they were kind of like my pseudo siblings. So
yeah,
they got involved in community theater first. And I was like, oh, like we should, you know, I can do this too. And I guess I fell in love with it. You know, I just stemmed from that goat show.
Yeah. That goat show at the age of four. You're like, you know what? That's it. That's the move.
Yeah. It was. And ever since then, I think I did my second show. I was five and I did The Sound of Music. I was Gretel.
And they Gretel is one of my favorite parts in musical theater just because it's so adorable. It's so adorable and small and cute.
Oh, it's a princess role for sure.
Easily. Half the time you like get carried around on stage.
The whole time, honestly.
You follow all the other siblings. I played the Baroness in high school and a lot of it was just sort of like putting my hand on Gretel's back being like, yes, follow the rest of them off. Like,
yeah, she's the best.
She's the best. I love her.
But ever since then, basically, I just kind of followed in my cousin Justine's footsteps and my cousin Matt, her brother. And when I was 10, this is crazy. When I was 10, we both went in for an open call for this new Andrew Lloyd Webber show. Or I was 9, actually. It was called Whistle Down the Wind. Most people haven't heard of it. It's okay if you heard of it. I don't hold anything against you. But the music is beautiful. And we went into this like giant open call. So many people there, like so many people, so many stage moms. It was scary.
I'm sure.
We just went in, you know, for, you know, shits and giggles just to try it out. Mm-hmm. It was my second audition ever. And we both got called back. And then we actually both got in the tour. And we have different last names, so they had no idea that we were even cousins. It was
So funny, because I knew that you had, like, done this tour, but I didn't realize you got to do it with your cousin. Like, that's hysterical.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Is there a lot of children in that show?
There was. It was actually interesting. So there was, like, probably about 8 to 10 people in the children's ensemble of the show.
Yeah.
And then... this is very odd, but every city that we toured in, we would also like pick up just for that city. We would pick up like the children of the town and they would add to the children's ensemble with every city. So actually I knew Julia Adams, who also is a Wagner grad, because when we went to Sacramento, she was in the children's ensemble there. And I remember being backstage with her, like joking around. We watched some Austin Powers movies. We probably should
love thing. Oh my God.
How I knew her.
What a small world. That's absolutely crazy. Oh my gosh. I plan to talk more about Whistle Down the Wind in a second, but I want to make sure to ask, what was that like overture moment for you where you're like, oh, I think I want to do this as a career. Was it with the tour?
Yeah. And it is pretty crazy because when you're in that situation as a child actor, oftentimes, and it's kind of sad, oftentimes your parents will push you into it, or, you know, it's somebody else's dream that they're really pushing their kid to do. And so when people grow up and they're child actors, oftentimes they'll just go a different route, which is totally fine.
Absolutely.
But for me, I think it was such a great experience that I was like, wow, I want to do this again and again and again. So that's kind of kept me moving forward, really, and pursuing the dream.
Yeah, absolutely. And you were 9 when you did this, yeah?
Yeah.
That's so crazy. Because what was it like being a kid on a national tour? Because I can imagine that was a long time to be doing a show, going from like community theater, which is like a couple weekends, to like doing a show for months.
Yeah.
And like, did you travel with family? I mean, besides your cousin, of course.
I did. Yeah. So it was crazy. It was my mom. My mom traveled with me. And mm-hmm. then my aunt also. My aunt.
That's so awesome.
And yeah. Justine. So the 4 of us and then the other children and their parents. It was, looking back on it now, I realized how crazy awesome an experience it was. But back then it was just like, cool, this is like such a fun adventure.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I also was an understudy of one of the leads too. So in addition to like having your tutoring sessions, having your schooling on tour, which took up a lot of the time in the morning. Mm-hmm. I think once a city we would have understudy rehearsal.
Good.
So, and that took up some time as well.
I can imagine. Did you ever go on as an understudy? Yeah,
I did.
Oh my gosh. And
my cousin. Crazy.
That's so funny. Well, and how cool to get that experience of understudying and the getting the sudden notice of like, hey, you're going on today at such an early age.
That was a crazy story because when I found out, it was like at half hour call and I was like, oh my gosh. And that city, we had not had an understudy rehearsal for like a few months, which I'm not sure how I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was supposed to happen, but we didn't have understudy rehearsal for a few months. And so I was like, so nervous. I was like shaking. I was like, oh my gosh, like we haven't gone over this. I'm scared. And quickly we brushed through the whole show and then everybody kind of helped me out a little bit. You know, if I didn't know exactly where to stand or remember, they would actually like, hey, as we were doing the scene, here, let me have you put your hand and take you where you need to go. So that was pretty crazy, but pretty cool. And then I got to run 2 more times.
That's so awesome and so special. And like, what a comforting feeling that your company was literally there with you to be like, hey, like, come over this way or whatever you needed to be so you were in the right spot or needed to say the right thing or whatever. How long was this contract then as a kid with on tour?
It was 6 months.
Okay. Yeah. That's a nice, decent chunk of time.
It was. And I was at the time I was going to like a private school. So they like sent, they would send my like textbooks and stuff in the mail and that's how I would learn from my actual school textbook. So we would try to keep up with the curriculum there.
Oh, that's fascinating. I would like, for some reason, my brain is like, oh yeah, like they would, I never thought that they would like follow the curriculum of the school that they were like currently attending. I don't know why that, like, cause everyone was like doing their own thing. Not everyone was like in a classroom learning the same stuff. You guys were all like focusing on your school's assignments.
I know. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Yeah. I don't know how we did it, but I guess as a kid, you don't think that it's hard. You just think it's fun. Everything's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's all sort of just sort of like, hey, we're doing this now. And you don't, as kids, you don't really know what needed to happen to get to that point. So you're just sort of like, okay, cool. Let's do the next thing.
Yeah, exactly. Everything was an adventure to us.
Do you remember like what the show was about? And also curious, who did you play?
It's an interesting show.
Yeah.
the plot is very simple and interesting. Very religious. So basically, these 3 children who just lost their mom stumble into their barn and find an escaped convict who says to them, Jesus Christ. And they actually believe that he's Jesus Christ. And that's basically all
the whole plot.
The whole plot. It's really interesting. And so the 3 children, my cousin understudied the main girl. Her name is Swallow. They're all named after, like, I don't know,
like birds
or something. And I understudied Brat. She was the middle child. That was her name. Gotcha. But the score is actually beautiful, and there's actually a lot of rock and roll in it because Diamond wrote some of the music.
Okay.
The guy who wrote with Meatloaf.
Yeah.
It's very much Jim Steinman-y. So it actually is kind of cool. I really like the score.
That's interesting. I'm curious to listen to that because you said it's Andrew Lloyd Webber, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's like, I would be interested to listen to like the musical influences in that, especially like since we're seeing like Bad Cinderella right now on Broadway and trying to like pick apart like, oh, some of the music might be familiar and things like that of just the style of it. So that's how cool and so amazing. Was this the show that you received your Equity card on, or was that some like later down the line too?
No, that was the show.
That's so cool though, and like it's also interesting that you got your Equity card at such an early age, because especially as someone who then went on to go to college and pursue theater in college, mm-hmm. I'm always curious about that kind of thing of like, do you reach out to the union to get permission to perform in your school's shows, like on the main stage or student runs? Like, what was that like going through that process in school?
I believe if it's a school, like a collegiate thing, I think it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more just taking on, and also you're not getting paid for it. That's the important thing, I think.
Gotcha.
Probably more important than anything else. So if you know, it does narrow your options a little bit.
Of course.
But then when you do get an equity contract, it's a lot better.
Yeah.
You gotta weigh the pros and cons there, you know, if you
absolutely
do hard, but as long as it's a school show, I think it's okay.
Gotcha.
If you take on a non-union contract, that's not okay, obviously.
Yeah, that's obviously breaking the rules a little bit.
Right.
But that's always an interesting conversation to have, because I think a lot of what's coming up right now is people discussing, okay, when is the time to get your union card, and mm-hmm. that personal decision there. So it's always interesting to talk to someone who's had it for a very long time and kind of navigating that space, because you didn't go through the typical college thing of like, oh, I'm going to audition for all these summer stocks.
Exactly. And things
like that. Exactly. And I'm sure that must have been an interesting journey for you then, going through college, having already had some of those experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. You definitely learn how to be a professional from a young age, that's for sure. And
yeah,
you get the whole professional experience. But then, yeah, I did see people always were auditioning for summer stocks. And I was like, dang, I can't. I would love to. Yeah, a lot of my resume is still my college shows, actually.
Yeah. Well, and that makes total sense, too, because also it's the shows that fit better for your age range as well.
Right.
It's like, you're like, yes, you could have Whistle Down the Wind like on your resume still, but they're like, wait, you're a child on that.
Right,
it's like,
exactly.
Well, yeah, it's not quite applicable anymore for the things that you currently audition for.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious then, so then did already having your Equity card and having been on a tour before affect like your decision in where you were going to go to college, and having already experienced that, figuring out, okay, how do I want to tackle this college journey as a whole?
Yeah, I was looking at a couple of different colleges. I know some people submit to like 20. I submitted to maybe like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And I was trying to find something around New York City, because just in case I wanted to audition in between mm-hmm. classes or in between, you know, in the summer, I wanted to have the freedom to just bop back into the city. And also I'm from New Jersey originally, so it wouldn't be that far if I needed to get home.
Yeah.
And when I got to Wagner's campus, I was like, this is beautiful, and it's really small, and it's kind of like a suburban home outside New York City. And it's a little trek to get there, but it's not crazy.
Yeah. No, I definitely had that same feeling of like, oh, like I can walk across like the campus to like go to brunch in my PJs and not feel like I can't do that in New York City, but like on like a tiny little campus that's closed off in Staten Island, yeah, I can do that.
Yes. I was like, I don't want to like go to college in the actual city, I don't think.
Yeah.
But I do want to have like a separate space.
Yeah.
But also have the option to go into a city.
Yeah. Have that separation a little bit and be like, okay, When I'm at school, I am studying things. I am a student. When I'm in the city, then I can be a professional or do whatever I want to do.
Yes, literally.
Yeah. Well, and then recently you got to do Pirates of Penzance at Delaware Valley Opera. Yes. And that must have been so much fun because, as you and I both know, you got to do it our senior year at Wagner. So how fun was it to get to be a part of this silly show again?
It was so much fun, honestly. One of the funniest things, I think, about doing it at an actual opera house is that everyone there thought I was an actor-dancer. Exactly, Laura. Exactly.
No, I mostly say that because I know your approach to dance. I know your approach to dance in terms of your own feelings about it. I'm like, yes, you can move. I'm not laughing at your ability. I'm laughing because I know you consider yourself far from a dancer. That's why I laugh. I want to clarify.
No, it was, I've never been called a dancer in my life. So I took it. Every single time I was like, yes, I am the dancer here. Essentially, I was the dance captain of the show, which is hilarious. And I also played Edith. So it was interesting playing a different character.
Too. Yeah, I was going to ask about that because when you did it at Wagner, you played Mabel. And obviously, that's a huge role and that's so much to take on. But then Edith is kind of nice because she's one of the leaders of like the sisters. And so there's so much that the sisters do on stage and Mabel's not there. Right. So I can also imagine it was a lot of like relearning, like, oh, this is all the stuff that was happening when I was off stage waiting.
Oh yeah, I was relearning all of the harmonies, a third down or a third up, you never know.
Yeah, well, and because Mabel is so high up in the stratosphere too.
Yeah.
Like, must have been a nice, like, lovely change. I mean, like, oh, okay, I don't have to sing that high anymore.
Yes, that was a bit of a relief. no, but it was super fun, like, learning this part. And also, not that Mabel isn't funny, but Edith is so funny, and it was really nice actually playing around with the humor around her. That was fun. And as we know, in musical theater, classic musical theater, it's not very often that you find a funny soprano. It's very rare. If you're trying to look for a soprano with a comedic soprano song, you're going to be searching for a few hours on the
internet.
Really tough to find. And so it's kind of fun playing in Gilbert and Sullivan because you actually, it's different where, like, all of the sopranos are funny pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least because, in some way.
Yeah, because after that, then it's a lot of like, it's like either soprano or contralto. And I'm like, there's quite a range in between those, but sure. Like,
yes, exactly. So that actually is fun. Gilbert and Sullivan gives you an opportunity to be funny as a soprano, which is not common at all.
And obviously very much up your alley as well. Like, yes. You're like, yes, please. Thank you.
Please give me a juicy, funny part.
Yes, exactly. And I have a clip from this Pirates of Penzance production. So we're going to watch that for a sec.
Yes.
How fun. It just looks like an absolute blast.
It was a blast.
And also it looks like it's such a nice, like, intimate space as well. And I feel like that's really fun and I think can really help for Gilbert and Sullivan, because then you can really, like, look at the audience and be like, do you see what I did there? Do you see the funny things we did?
Absolutely. Yeah. We got to not fully break the fourth wall, but we got to interact with the audience a lot, and that was fun.
Yeah, and I feel like for Pirates, you kind of need to. Like, I even think back to, like, Kevin's Modern Major General, and if you're not including the audience in modern Major General, what are you doing? You know, right? Like
you gotta
let them in on the joke, let them have fun too. Yes, so exactly. It looks like it was a perfect environment to get to do that.
Yes. And the cast was so much fun.
I love that.
We were all just joking around. The Pirate King and I became like best friends.
I love that.
The Pirate King in that production of Pirates is actually the writer of the children's opera that I'm going to be doing in 2 weeks.
That's so exciting. Oh, yeah. I love that. That's so much fun. And obviously you have more productions coming up at Delaware Valley Opera. So was this production Pirates your first production with them as a company?
Yes, it was. It was.
How awesome to then like get to work with them and then be like, hey, can you come back and do more stuff? I'm sure that must feel so nice. Can't you like, yes, I would love to do that.
Yes. Yeah. That's the good thing about, or any regional theater as well as opera house. You know, if they like you, they'll ask you back, and that's kind of a blessing to have. You're like, great, I will be there.
You're like, I will happily be there. Please just tell me when.
Tell me when.
I love that. And kind of going off track a little bit, talking about voiceover work. You also do a fair amount of voiceover work. When did you start doing that?
You know, over the pandemic, I was like, you know what? I should just make a voice reel. I made a musical theater reel. Let me make a voice reel. Let me look up some demo sounds online and just read them, different tones, different tone of voice, different, you know, comedic versus straight, I suppose.
Yeah. It's always funny. It's always funny for commercial too, because you're like, I don't, it's a very different kind of voice. It's a very different kind of reel. And it was funny because I ended up finding and listening to yours, and I thought they were all like reel ads that you had done. So the fact that you're like, I found like sounds to go under them, I'm like, oh, this is so much fun. I was like, I love the music under all of these little ads for like hot sauce and otherwise.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. I decided to just record my voice reel and then was just submitting through Backstage, honestly. And yeah. Discord, which a lot of people use, it's more of a gaming platform, but I guess it's also just kind of a social network as well.
Yeah.
They just reached out to me and were like, hey, we really liked your voice. We wanted to pick you. Can you do some ads for us? And I was like, yes. Absolutely. That's so cool. And so basically what it was just recording, for maybe a half hour. That was it.
Oh my gosh.
And I would get paid for every session a lot. And it was half hour. Once it was like 10 minutes of them just sending me a script and us doing a video call like we're doing, and just reading the script a couple times with a bunch of different people saying, oh, record it this way, record it this way. Mm. They were the most chill, relaxed LA I've ever met. It was amazing. And I would just send them the full audios and they would do all the editing, everything. And so
I love that.
It was amazing. I would love to work with them again. Discord, if you're listening.
You're like, please, I will happily do more. That's so awesome that you guys were able to do it in a remote way. Cause I mean, I've heard of doing like voiceover work where you're like trapping yourself in a closet kind of thing and trying to keep like the noise down as best as possible and like doing it, sending it that way and being like, is this okay? Or I've heard of like going in a studio, but the fact that you got to do it like live with them and kind of get that direction, I haven't heard of yet, which is really, really awesome. And I think just makes the whole process easier because then you can just get it done.
Yeah, it's one and done. I mean, they give you direction about how they want it to sound, and you don't have to keep sending clips back and forth until you get it right.
Yeah.
A direct thing, and it maybe took a half hour.
I love that.
It was easy for every session, and I did it for about 2 years worth of doing their ads every once in a while.
Oh, so that's awesome. Well, we have a clip of the one that you did. I think this was like probably the first one that came out, because I remember you had posted about it. So this is right at the end of 2020. This is Dana and her voiceover work.
This year hasn't been easy, and many of you connected with your friends on Discord to hang out and find an escape. In fact, you spent 1.4 trillion minutes in voice, sent 656 billion messages, and created millions of new servers. And in one of those servers, there was a music festival where people danced and sang and laughed in voice. In another, friends gathered around their cameras for a virtual car meetup and showed off their rides. And in this one, two people got married while their friends and family watched. You've shared all the unique things you use Discord for this year, hanging out together in ways we've never seen before. In all the boredom and loneliness, you use Discord to connect. We're so humbled. So we just wanted to say thank you. Thanks for making us a part of your life this year.
How fun and how lovely of a little ad too.
That was like, a sweet one. I love their animations too. And
oh, it's so fun to watch. And also, like, I mean, not that I'm like plugging Discord on here or anything, but like, like how cool that like all these things like did happen like during the pandemic. And I think it's so awesome to get to work on a voiceover project like that, that especially this clip was just literally being like, how cool that everyone could stay connected in this way. Thank you. I'm sure that must have been a nice little like release, as opposed to just constantly being like, hey, use our platform, pay this much, or like whatever be it, you know. Very exactly. Different kind. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was super nice.
Yeah. What was the timeline for something like this? Because you said they had reached out to you. So how long was that process of like them reaching out to you, recording it, and then them publishing it?
I just submitted, and then they were like, okay, send us a week later. They said, okay, we like your voice. We're between a few different people. Please send us a reading of this attached script. I sent that back, and maybe another week later, they reached back out and were like, hey, we actually decided we really like your voice. So we're going to move forward with this. And then I want to say maybe 2 weeks later, they sent me a contract. I signed it. And then in between the sessions, I think it really just depended upon when they were publishing an ad.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. That makes sense.
It wasn't all like consistent, but it was like every few weeks or so, maybe twice a month. And they would reach out and be like, hey, can we schedule a recording session for this time? And at the time, I was actually working at a periodontist office in New Jersey. So I was like, sure, I can come back after work. And I would drive home, go right, start the video call, and would be in my closet. And I would just, I would start the sessions being like, hey guys, I'm coming out of the closet today. And I would have my little mic in, I don't even know what you call them, but like a little box. Little soundproof box.
Yeah. Because I was like, I have one of these, which is the, like the spit barrier, I guess is what.
Yeah.
Similar, but.
The screen, but a soundproof box. And I would be in my tiny little closet in New Jersey. Like, thanks for making us a part of your life this year.
And they're like, yeah, can you say that again, but give this kind of intonation?
It's not giving enough. It's not giving enough. We need more. but it was so much fun, and the people were so nice too. Like, I'm not stressed how nice everyone was. They were all on LA time. They were like, yeah, man, whatever.
And you're just like, oh, okay, cool. You're like, thank you for not being so stressed. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So it was nice. It was nice. It honestly, as much as the video said it kept people connected, that helped keep me connected to other people. Just seeing people on a screen across the country and saying hey every few weeks.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And so obviously this is more commercial voiceover work, but are you also interested in like other genres, like doing video game voice acting or like audiobooks or things like that?
That would be really cool. I actually did record an audiobook through the Amazon audiobook system.
Yeah.
It is way harder than it seems.
I believe that. I wholeheartedly believe that.
It takes a while to record all of that. First of all, if there's characters, if it's not just like a cookbook, you have to do all of these characters and you have to read them in slightly different voices, maybe with an accent.
Yeah.
It's tough if you're doing some lower register, like male voices. And probably the same for, you know, males or, you know, I just think it would be, it's crazy. It's
a lot of like vocal fatigue.
Vocal fatigue. And it just, you have to kind of do all of the editing yourself. Every you have to edit out.
Edit all of it. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It took a long time. And I only did a short book too.
Yeah.
It was a 90-page book. And it took me like hours. And then you have to go back and edit everything yourself.
Yeah.
And at that point, you're like, I need you to pay me a little more.
Yeah. You're like, after all of that, I don't, I think maybe I should get a little bit more for this. But
yeah, it's a lot. But it never got published. I never knew what happened to it. So that's why I didn't mention it. But I did do.
No, that's fair. But that's understandably frustrating.
Yeah. So it's somewhere out there. It was a very interesting sci-fi book.
And you're like, cool. Somebody somewhere will hear it.
Yeah. I was like, okay.
Well, hopefully we'll get to hear you as maybe like the voice of a character and like animated short or like a video game. Like I think you would have a lot of fun doing some character voices.
Oh yeah. No, that would be so cool. I would love to do video games or just animated films, anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be so much fun. And then going back to the singing parts of things, I believe for a few years now, you've performed as part of the Village Carolers.
Yes.
How did you get involved in this?
It was through backstage as well.
Nice.
This was in 2019, pre-pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And I randomly auditioned, or I should say I submitted.
Mm-hmm.
I auditioned. They asked me to come in and learn three pieces. One of them was a jazz piece that had really, you know, tough rhythms in it. One of them was a song in French, and one of them was just a traditional Christmas carol, but they were the toughest three.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I went in, I auditioned live. They had other people, you know, they do it in SATB quartets.
Mm-hmm.
So there was an alto tenor bass there to sing along with me. And I got hired, and then they give you a book of 76 Christmas carols that you have to learn. I know,
my gosh,
verses to any Christmas song you could ever think of. Trust me,
that is so well. And you still have like books in hand, so that's fascinating that you have that. I mean, I'm sure you don't have all of them in the book at the same time, but that's a lot of songs.
It's a lot. It really is.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy arrangements, like 76 different songs. And, you know, we did a couple rehearsals. And so we kind of learned all of the music. But while you're performing, they don't really want your head in the book either. So you kind of have to like hold it and just like
glance down every once in a while.
And hope for the best. Hope you're not singing the wrong note or the wrong word on Frosty the Snowman. And you count your blessings.
That one in particular has so many verses, and I feel like people don't take that into account.
It really does.
Frosty's a tough one. I did that one recently, and I was like, why does this have so many more verses than I remember it having?
Oh, yeah. And the kids love those, but those are the ones that pain me a little inside. But you smile anyways. Kids.
Well, and that's awesome. You've gotten to do it for so many years, like past that, mm-hmm. too.
Yes, it's really a great gig in the wintertime when sometimes things are slow.
Yeah.
It helps, you know, it helps pay for people's presents for Christmas. And it just brings a lot of joy to people as well, which I really like.
I love that. And we do have a clip of that as well. So I'll pull that up real quick. Gorgeous. Those arrangements are stunning.
They are. And we were performing there at Newark Airport.
Yeah.
And we got to ride one of those really cool, not golf cart things, I don't even know what you call them, but the super fast car things that race in the middle of
the airport.
And that was the best part for me.
You were like, heck yeah, I get to ride that.
Heck yeah.
I love that.
I love it nonetheless.
Where all do you guys get to perform? Is it, just like December, November? What's that kind of contract like?
It's November, December. Typically in November, it's after Thanksgiving, but sometimes it can be before a little bit. And we perform kind of throughout the mid-Atlantic. So I've performed in Maryland with them, Delaware, New York State, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. So kind of all over. But there are people, there are singers from Pennsylvania, and they typically do South Jersey or Pennsylvania. And I'm from North Jersey / Manhattan now. So I can kind of do that section. But the coolest thing was when we sang for the Knicks. That was really cool.
Oh, that must have been so cool.
Yeah. And I've never felt shorter. I'll tell you that. I walked actually, one of my bases, the man who runs the company, his name is Mike, and he's a very tall man. He's like 6'8", maybe.
Oh my gosh.
And his wife is like 5'10". So I already feel short. And he was like, I'm not the tallest man in the room here. So weird.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
But it was so surreal. And they treated you like royalty there. I mean, the four of us just sang the national anthem. That's all we were there for. We got to stay and watch the game. They gave us like a really nice dressing room beforehand, and like a shower, a bathroom, everything.
How sweet.
Chairs in there.
That's so fun. Yeah. That's such a cool gig too. And especially just like getting to perform for people, and like, especially when, if it's like kids and things like that, it's, I'm sure it's just really nice. Like during the holidays, you're like, okay, I have something to do. Like, it's not just being like, well, I guess it's like preparing for audition season again. Like, you kind of get to like take your mind off of it a little bit and actually enjoy the season.
Exactly. Yeah. It honestly, it brings up my spirits, because I never was a huge Christmas music person, but now I kind of am, and I know all of the verses.
Yeah, I'm like, you know all of it. So whether you like it or not, like you kind of have to be.
But it definitely brought up my spirits. During the main year two of the pandemic, we had way less gigs, but we did have a couple, and we were outside with singing masks on and everything. But even just doing that kind of brought up our spirits a little bit. Yeah. It was really nice.
And especially in those times where like performing in person was really minimal. I can imagine how important that was for both like you guys, but also the people getting to hear it and getting to hear those gorgeous arrangements, and being like, oh right, this is what it's like to hear people sing in person again.
Yeah, no, it definitely brought up people's spirits, that's for sure. And seeing the smiles on the kids' faces always does it for me. You know, I don't like Rudolph that much, but now I like it a little bit more.
just because of you, kid, like just a little bit more.
Exactly.
As actors, we always have fun things that we do in our side time to try and make more money in between gigs and contracts and stuff. And you do a whole bunch of different things. One of them is you teach cocktail classes. That is so cool.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing that?
I just started doing that in December.
Gotcha.
So it's this company called Bar Bees. The last, it's B-E-E-S, and the logo is a B. Barbie.
Cute.
So basically it's expanded. It was originally a company in Nashville and it kind of grew out of there. And now it's in like 7 different cities. In Scottsdale, Arizona is one of them. And my best friend from high school in New Jersey has since moved out to Scottsdale, Arizona. And she reached out to me and was like, hey, Dana, this company is expanding into New York City. Would you be interested? Send over your resume and everything. I was like, okay. So I sent over my info to them and they said, hey, we're not looking for anyone right now. We'll reach back out to you in the fall. The fall came, they reached back out, and I've been working there since December now, which is
how
a crazy connection there.
Yeah, no, that's so crazy. And that sounds like so much fun. Do you have to, like, I guess I'm curious about the, how extensive, like, that training is? Because, like, do you have to become a full bartender? Like, how, what do you have to learn beforehand in order to be able to teach a cocktail class?
Essentially, you just have to read very well. I'm just kidding. you just have to basically execute the two recipes that they come up with. So in New York City, in other cities, it's a lot of bachelorette parties. The New York City, it's a lot of corporate. But that's kind of fun too, because you get to break the ice and you get to see people like relax a little bit in a corporate setting. So that's kind of cool. You just basically have to, the client will supply all of the alcohol, all of the ice, things like that. And we just get shipped the dry goods from the company. We get an Uber that they reimburse, which is nice because you're lugging all this stuff there. And they'll usually choose two or three recipes that they would like. And some of them are espresso martinis, like a strawberry whiskey sour, rosemary honey paloma, and all of these, these recipes. And you basically just demo it for them. And then you kind of guide them and teach them how to make it. And it's kind of awesome.
No, that sounds so fun. And also I'm sure that you're like, okay, I'm going to keep that in the back of my mind. So then I can impress people in like my own time and be like, oh yeah, I know how to make these cocktails. It's like,
Yeah, exactly. You get all these fun recipes for free, basically.
Exactly. No, yeah. that must be so much fun. And is it in, do you have to go to like different places every single time too? Kind of like a go to them situation.
Yes. You go to them literally.
That's so
cool. I have done the 50th birthday party and that was fun too.
I feel like that must, that like birthdays and things like that must be even more fun because you're just like, okay, everyone's here to have a good time. Like not too stressful, but yeah, I can also imagine the corporate ones can be kind of fun too. Cause it's like, oh, okay, we're actually doing something that has nothing to do with your work. Hopefully everyone can chill out a little bit.
Right. Everyone chills out. No one's ever mad that you're giving them alcohol.
Exactly.
So it's kind of the best job ever.
I love that. Yeah. And then at the same time, like you on the flip side of things, you also work selling clean energy in New York City.
Yeah. So I actually run into a bunch of Wagner people doing it too.
And really?
That's really fun.
Incredible.
But yeah, I'll be in different grocery stores or actually we partner with AMC. We're outside of Trader Joe's at pretty much every green market in the city, I feel like we're at. But yeah, basically just telling Con Ed customers that you can choose a renewable source of power on your Con Ed bill and signing it that way.
Yeah. And of course, like everyone in New York City has like the same power company. Everyone in New York City has like the same Wi-Fi company. It's all, we're very much all familiar with this too. Cause I know I've gotten several letters in the email, in the mail being like, okay, time, like, do you want to switch over and that kind of thing?
Oh, so yes. Yeah. That's a different company, but definitely they will try to get you.
And you're like, and I'm a part of that.
I am a part of that, but it is something that's super good. I'm not going to do my thing here.
No, don't.
It is one of the strongest things you can do for the environment though. So I've discovered since working for the company.
Yeah. And that's so cool to be able to be doing such vastly different quote unquote day jobs when you're doing performing. Cause you're like, okay, what's something that's completely different from theater? Literally working for clean energy and things like that. So it's so different.
It's so different.
And it must be like a nice break.
Well, yeah, I think it's important. Like at the end of the day, even if, I mean, I do feel like sales is a little bit performance too.
Of course.
And same with the cocktail classes, you kind of have to be entertaining, talk to people.
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, it's really important to, if you do have to do a day job, as most of us do.
Yeah.
I think it's important to do something that like actually means something to you or someone else, you know, something that is impactful, brings a positive change into the world instead of a negative change.
Otherwise it's just draining for yourself.
Otherwise you have money, but what is it worth?
That too. It's either soul draining or it's like, well, what are you actually doing for, what can you give back?
Exactly.
And I think that's a huge part of it.
Exactly. I try to do that with all of my side jobs, just try to do something that is meaningful, that, you know, helps with performance a little bit as well, or can utilize the skills that I do have, but also brings about some kind of positive change in the world, because I think that's what we need.
No, and I think that's such a beautiful way of looking at it too, because I think so often when it comes to day jobs and things like that, we're like, okay, well, what can work best in my schedule? How can I do this and that kind of thing? And those kinds of things are important, but also we just have to think of the things, okay, what fills up my cup as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so fills up my cup. And if I fall asleep tonight, you know, if I die tonight, will I have regretted anything I've done, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you have some shows coming up very, very soon from what you were saying, which is so exciting. Yeah. The Three Bears, a children's opera. That's the one that's coming up in 2 weeks, yeah?
Yes, that's the one.
How exciting. Obviously, you'll be playing Goldilocks. So I'm assuming it's the Goldilocks classic tale.
Oh, yes. We're going to have to find a wig. I don't think I can dye my
hair. There's no way you can dye your hair, Dana.
But yes, it's going to be really fun. The man who played the Pirate King in Pirates at Delaware Valley Opera wrote this children's opera. Mm-hmm. After that show, both of us actually went to see a production of Goldilocks, of The Three Bears. Mm-hmm. And we were like, we should try to bring this to the opera house, because I feel like it's so cute and we can get kids to come. And we were kind of doing like little casting in our minds. That would be cool, you know? So when they asked me back this year, I was like, yes, I loved it. I love it. And it's actually kind of, it is an opera. Mm-hmm. So there's no speaking lines, but it really is musical theater influenced too.
I was going to ask about that, just because so often we hear of children's theater, but never like children's opera. So I was curious kind of the differences and things like that. But if it's leaning more towards the musical theater side of things, that makes sense too.
Yes. It's very theatrical. It's really funny. Which
I bet.
And you know, one of the first scenes, Goldilocks is like on the phone with Mr. Wonderland, because she's like, is Allison home? Like Alice Wonderland. So it's really cute, and it's actually really good for kids. It's only a half hour.
Oh, that's so nice.
It'll keep their attention span. There's no intermission, just a half hour. And it's very funny. So
I love that. You're gonna have so much fun with that.
Yeah. They have morning shows for the kids. So
I love that.
Yeah, it'll be nice for just for kids to come see it.
when is it running?
It's just running one weekend. So I'm going up there on the 16th of June. Mm-hmm. And then gotcha. 16th of June. And then I believe the following weekend, whatever those dates are.
Gotcha. Yeah. Nice and quick. Nice and quick.
Nice and quick. And then in August, I'm going back there again to do a new opera. So.
Nice. And I'm so excited about that. Like to hear about that. What do you, or I don't know if you're allowed to talk about it or whether you know as much about it, but are you able to tell us what is it about and who you play?
I can tell you what it's about. Okay. I guess it's a contemporary opera. Mm-hmm. And it's about literally an opera company. It's a little meta.
I love it. Perfect.
And, like all these crazy characters that come through and do the auditions. And I have a lot of the lines because I'm the secretary. Like,
nice.
Here, I brought you some paperwork and all of that stuff. So yeah, I play the secretary who is bringing the head of the opera department, like all of their headshots, and is like grabbing coffee for everyone. And
I love it.
The secretary work.
I hope that you have so many physical comedy bits.
Oh, me too.
Like, I can just see it right now. You just acting out, being like, like dropping files and things like that. Like,
I will. I'll add it in. Everyone there is a bunch of goofballs, so it will be great.
It'll be so awesome. That'll be so much fun. And that's so cool that, like, you get to do The Three Bears for just a short, quick amount of time. And then you have a whole month before you go back again for the audition.
Great. So I guess I'll come back here and
hang out a little bit.
And then go back.
Exactly. And then when is the audition running? How long is it running? That kind of thing.
I think that's 2 weekends in August.
Nice.
I'm not sure of the dates yet.
That's okay. I
haven't fully got all the details yet. But gotcha. Mid I believe it's like mid to end of August.
Nice, nice. And then I'm assuming in order to get tickets to see both of these shows, going to Delaware Valley Opera's website.
Yes, yes. Awesome. They will have everything available online. July, they're doing La Boheme. I'm not part of that. Ooh. They are doing La
Boheme. Well, that's exciting.
So I'll be there.
You're like, I will be there in the audience. I will be there in attendance.
Yes. I will be there rooting for everybody, but
absolutely. Yes. Amazing. I'll make sure to put that link in the description of this video when it's done. That way people can check out the company and all that kind of good stuff. Yes. It's crazy. We've gotten to the end of the episode. Where can people find you, like on social media and that kind of thing?
Sure. You can look me up on YouTube. I believe it's just my name, first last name. I know it's difficult, but if you can get through like letter 4 through 5, you're fine.
Yeah.
And then my Instagram is at D Klusik. And I'm trying to think.
I think it's just the two for you.
Those two. I did have a Facebook. Unfortunately, it got hacked. So I do not have a Facebook at the moment.
That's unfortunate, but that's okay. That's okay. And do you have a website or you do not? I'm trying to remember.
I do not have a website.
Cool. So then it's just those two places. And I will also put the links for those down below. You can find me on Instagram and I guess Twitter until it's gone. And then also TikTok at Laura_Marjoram. And then my website, www.lauramarjoram.com. You can find this show on Instagram at Overtures Show. That's where I post all of the updates of who's coming next, their bios. You can submit questions, all that good stuff. Obviously, if you're watching the video version of this, you are on YouTube. Yay. Thanks. Welcome. Subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. Join us live. It's always so fun when people pop on and say hello and that kind of good stuff. And then all of these episodes become podcast episodes. So we are on Spotify and Apple Music, so you can listen on the go. And then also we have a Ko-fi page. So if you feel so inclined as to donate a cup of coffee of sorts, the proceeds go to helping this show continue so I can talk to more amazing guests like Dana. But yeah, Dana, do you have any final thoughts for viewers live and in the future?
Oh my gosh. I would say, here's my America speech.
I love it. I love it.
No, I would say keep following your dreams, honestly. I mean, clearly I have been since I was 9. And just have the, you know, a lot of this career is just having patience, I think. Mm-hmm. And just keeping the hope alive, honestly.
Absolutely.
Alive for yourself, keeping yourself healthy, keeping yourself in a good mental state, and just going into every audition thinking, this is a new opportunity for me. And, you know, expecting the worst, but hoping for the best, I think.
Absolutely. No, I wholeheartedly agree. And with those amazing wise words, we'll be ending out the episode. So thank you so much for watching and we will see you all later. Bye.
Bye.